God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I started last week, I am spending this time after Epiphany, this time between when the Magi came to the manger and when we celebrate the season of Lent, reading and focusing on the letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote. It's our reading each week, this part of the lectionary. Last week, we began with Paul's very formal and correct introduction, naming himself, those he was writing to, and giving thanks for them and all that Christ had done in them. This week, we move on to the verses following that, and Paul gets down to business, as it were, for the sake of this letter. The church of Corinth may have been sitting there going, oh good, we're getting a letter from Paul. Isn't that nice? Isn't he saying such nice things about us, about our strength and our wisdom? And then he says, now I urge you not to be divided about anything. And maybe the people sitting in the church in Corinth were starting to get uncomfortable in their seats, because they know what's happening in their church. And then Paul makes it very clear that he knows what is happening in their church as well. The reason Paul wrote to the church in Corinth was that it was being filled with division, with dissension, with one group and another arguing with one another about what was right and what was good. Today we read what some of those groups called themselves. I belong to Paul. Oh, well, I belong to Cephas, Peter. Well, I belong to Apollos, another early teacher in the church. Oh, well, I belong to Christ. I think it's easy to imagine what was going on in that church in Corinth, because I think this is something Christians have struggled with since we started following Christ. Ha! I found the teacher with all the correct answers. I found the one who has it figured out. I follow the Pope. I follow Calvin. I follow Luther. This is one thing we are good at doing. And one thing we see through this letter to the Corinthians that the people of God have been doing since they became the people of God. All of the people in Corinth, all of the followers of Christ in Corinth, they were doing their best. They wanted to follow Christ the best of their ability. They wanted to be faithful followers. So they listened to their teachers and they said, I think what Paul has to say is good and right and true. And it was. And then another teacher would come into town and some others would say, wait a minute, Peter's saying this a little bit differently. I think that's right. And despite the fact that Paul and Peter sometimes disagreed, it was. And some maybe looked at this division and said, wait. I'm just going to follow Jesus. Simple, plain Jesus. So all the rest of you are wrong. And I'm right. How do we do this today? In churches, in denominations, in communities who are all faithfully following Christ? How will we baptize our people? And when? Is just a little water okay, or do we need to go down to a river? Can we baptize an infant who can't speak, much less say the confession of faith, or should we wait? Who may take communion at our table? Do you need to be part of our community to come and receive? Do you need certain age? Do you need to have a certain IQ? Who can speak in our pulpits? Does God pick certain people? Does God have categories of people that God won't pick? How do we go through work? Should we follow a pattern or be spontaneous? I am here to tell you, we are all faithfully following Christ, pretty much whichever side of these decisions we come on. We are a diverse people, the body of Christ. We have a lot of ways of meeting God. And luckily for us, God is big enough to be there in all of those ways. In a liturgical worship where the preacher doesn't pick the text but is handed one each week, and a worship style where the preacher expects to be moved by the Spirit that morning, and we'll see how it goes. The people in Corinth are someone we can learn from because they are so much like us. And Paul wants them to change their focus. He says, "Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Has Christ been divided into all of these various camps? You get a little bit of him, and you get a little bit of him, and you get a little bit of him? This is not the God that we have started to follow. This is not the God that we meet on the road and in our homes and in the meal. You see, Paul wanted them to focus not on abstract theology first, not on philosophical discussions of right and wrong when it comes to ways of being. Paul wanted them to focus on the reality of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ first. It's a little messier that way, maybe, to focus on life, conversations, actions, death that we can't fully understand, and resurrection that we just try to understand. But that is what Paul says unites us all. We are all baptized, not into the baptism of one church or the other, or one faction or the other, but into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We all gather at the table, not as one church or another, not as one group or another, but as the body of Christ invited to Christ's table. God's table. Paul gives the church in Corinth and gives us an instruction that may seem hard. Do not be divided about anything. We look at the history of the church and realize that's not working out so well for us. And it could become disheartening. But Paul reminds us that God is the one doing the work. God did not come to earth with long theological discourses. God came to the earth to feed, to heal, to say, "Come, follow me. Come and see what God is doing in the world." And God comes into the world not to shore up our divisions, but to reconcile us, to help us see past our different understandings, our different experiences, and realize that we are all followers of Christ. We are all taking part in this death, resurrection, and ascension that we'll never fully understand until such a time as God calls us home. God is the one who is doing the reconciling, Peter says. It is not about human wisdom, it is about God's action. cross of Christ and see God tortured to death? A philosopher would say, that doesn't make any sense. That can't be God, powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. The cross is foolishness to those who are outside of the life of Christ, but for us, it is the greatest wisdom. Not because we have all the answers. We clearly still don't. But because what God showed us was most important was caring for others, was healing the sick, freeing the prisoner, giving sight to the blind, and finally, letting that love and vulnerability open himself up to the whole world. Paul is going to have more to say to this church in Corinth, as we'll see in coming weeks. And Paul is going to have more to say to us. But right at the beginning, as he lets them know that, yes, he knows what their problems are, and he is going to take them to task for them,